I'd like to refer to several scriptures, the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 7, and reading from verse 25, whence also he is able to save completely those who approach by him to God, always living to intercede for them. The Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, and verse 26, and in like manner, the Spirit joins also its help to our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for, as is fitting. But the Spirit itself makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. But he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for saints according to God. But we do know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to purpose. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, and reading from verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you, to sift you as wheat. But I have besought for thee that thy faith fail not. And thou, when once thou hast been restored, confirm thy brethren. The book of Genesis, chapter 18, and reading from verse 31. And he said, behold, now I have ventured to speak with the Lord. Perhaps there may be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry that I speak yet, but this time. Perhaps there may be 10 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 10's sake. And Jehovah went away when he had ended speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. And finally, in the first epistle of Timothy, chapter 2, and verse 1, I exhort, therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings and all that are in dignity, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all piety and gravity. For this is good and acceptable before our Saviour God, who desires that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm counting on the Lord, beloved brethren, to say what is on my heart. And that is the great matter of intercession. I feel it's a vital thing for us to understand today what true intercession means. I'm thankful to draw on scriptures that I've read, well-known scriptures, but I'm comforted in the fact with the words that we've read, whence also he is able to save completely. I might be speaking to somebody here that is almost overwhelmed. I do not know, but it could be the case that there could be somebody overwhelmed, hardly know which way to turn, whence also he is able to save completely. Great comfort, isn't it, to ourselves? Psalm 107 comes to mind. It says, when they are at their wit's end. Anybody here? At their wit's end? Just at that point, beloved, he puts out his hand and saves us. Might be speaking to a young person who's going through soul exercise with God. Just at the moment of despair, the Lord puts out his hand and he saves you. You might even be, as it were, almost going over a precipice. And suddenly, the Lord says, stop. Might be someone here tonight who's feeling the effects of the circumstances in which they are. I'd like to feel, beloved, that these words came into your heart in the power of the Holy Spirit, whence also he is able to save completely, not just partially, but completely, those who approach by him to God. We're living in a world, not that I want to dwell on negative things, but it's only to bring into relief the permanency of God's word into ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I suppose there wouldn't be one here though, who I'm addressing tonight, that hasn't felt things with God, that hasn't been through probably extremely testing circumstances And I'd like to feel that the Word of God came into your heart and to mine tonight, perhaps in a way as never before, and to realize He's able to save. So that the Scripture says, whence always living to intercede. Have you known, beloved, what the intercessory service of Christ is to your heart? I think I can say, in some small measure, I have. And I'm sure as I look around on my brethren tonight, I think we all know the comfort that there's one in the presence of our God and Father, always living to intercede for us. One who's there appealing on our behalf before His God and Father. And He's saying, I know just what you're passing through, and I'm bearing you up myself in the presence of God. That's very comforting, beloved brethren. It reminds me of Aaron, that beautiful type in the Old Testament. You remember, with the breastplate of judgment and those 12 stones that were set. Typical, of course, as we know, of the 12 tribes, but for us, embracing every true lover of Christ. They were on his heart when he went into the presence of God. Scripture says, there to appear before the face of God. We need it, dear brethren. We need it above everything else to be reminded of the presence of the Lord on high as our great high priest, and the assurance too down here that we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit, a holy, divine person. I do not dwell on this scripture, save to remind us that in the crucial hour of our need, I'd like to remind even the youngest that the Lord is ready to help you as you call upon Him. Whatever your need, whatever your circumstances may be, I do not know, but the Lord knows. He's able to save you completely, because He's always living to intercede for you. Now I pass on to Romans 8, because we have the presence of the Lord Jesus on high as our comforter, but we have the presence of the Holy Spirit down here as the comforter. That's very blessed too, to my heart. And the scripture, where I've read, it says, in like manner, the Spirit joins also its help to our weakness. Do you ever feel weak? I do. I readily confess that. But the Spirit is ready to join its help to our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as is fitting. Think of the complex circumstances, beloved, that surround us. Maybe the complexity of illness amongst us. There's a lot of persons that are ill and weak in their bodies. I'm thankful for a scripture like this. Some of them haven't even got the strength to pray. How wonderful, therefore, to be reminded of the service of the Holy Spirit. Joins also its help to our weakness. How thankful I am for that. For we do not know what we should pray for as is fitting, but the Spirit itself makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Think of what is unexpressed by the Holy Spirit of God. Wonderful. Groanings which cannot be uttered. It reminds me of the time when the Lord Jesus, it's recorded in the Gospels, in regard of one, it says, he looked up to heaven and groaned. It's not said that he said anything, but heaven understood that groan. How wonderful. Heaven understands the groanings, I speak reverently, of the Holy Spirit on behalf of the saints. He understands. And when we do not even know how to pray as we ought, the Holy Spirit maketh groanings and intercessions for us. It makes intercessions with groanings which cannot be uttered. Think of Hannah. Think of the exercises that she went through in her soul. It says, only her lips moved. It wasn't audible. But heaven understood the feelings of a dear woman like that. Heaven understands, beloved, the feelings of his people today. And even what cannot be expressed, the Holy Spirit is here to serve
until we finally reach that home of God.
I think this brings in comfort and joy for the people of God at the present time, because the Spirit is serving us in this way in his intercessory service. So it is for us to experience when you cannot even frame the words that you really want to say. You come back to the fact the Spirit knows what's on my heart anyway. And he can present it so perfectly to our God and Father through the wonderful service of our great high priest. And I know that he'll do abundantly more than I can ask or think according to the power which works in us. I leave that impression with you, beloved, as realizing the wonderful importance of the Lord Jesus on high and the presence of the Holy Spirit down here in order to succor and support his own in time of need. I pass now to the Gospel of Luke. And this is to show us, I believe, how the Lord feels in regard of any one of his own. I've selected Peter because he's a great encouragement. Peter represents largely my heart. He does, really. You say, I love the Lord. And I'm sure everybody in this room loves the Lord. Thank God for that. But if you ever denied him, you always say, yes, I am. So am I. Peter denied his Lord. But it's very interesting to me, Peter, that the Lord doesn't say to Peter that you will not deny me, will you, Peter? The Lord doesn't say that to him. He says, Peter, I have besought for thee that thy faith fail not. Not that you won't deny me, because the Lord knew full well what Peter was capable of and what I am capable of apart from divine grace. And the Lord says, Peter, the point is, I don't want your faith to fail. And dear brethren, that's a word to us today. The Lord doesn't want our faith to fail. You say, yes, I realize what I am and the way I may deny him when I should confess him. You think of the service of the Lord. He prayed for Peter. Have you ever been conscious of being prayed for? I'm sure you have. I'm sure there's mothers and fathers here tonight who have prayed for their children. And I'm sure perhaps most of us have felt the wonderful service of the Lord. Realize that the Lord prays for you? That's a great comfort, isn't it? So he says, Lord, the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you and to sift you as wheat. But I have besought for thee that thy faith fail not. Is that a word to any of us here tonight? Think of the Lord, may I say reverently, taking time to consider one of his erring saints when the immensity of the sufferings was upon him. Beloved, it touches my heart. The Lord took time, as it were, to pray for one of his erring saints. He might be doing that for someone here, someone that wants to go away. Lord says, I have prayed for you. I think the realization of that in our souls is to stir us up in our faith. What are we doing, dear brethren? What are we doing? Younger brethren, I would appeal to you. Do you feel the wonderful nearness of the Lord in serving us in this most wonderful way, in his priestly skill to bring us back? Think of the Lord saying to some, will ye also go away? Think of Peter saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast words of life eternal. Oh, you'd like to think of that ringing out in our hearts tonight, wouldn't you? Lord, to whom shall we go? Why? The position is the person of Christ. That's what's going to hold every one of us in this room. Our attachment to the person of Christ. And if we fail, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The blood of Jesus Christ, God sent, Son, cleanses from every sin. I believe that when the Lord looked at Peter, because he knew he was going to deny, The cock shall not crow thrice before thou shalt deny me in his life. What does the scripture say? The Lord, turning round, looked at Peter, and he went out and wept with him. I would say simply, he was seeing Jesus as the advocate. He came to the point, he immediately realized that he'd sinned. But there was the service of the Lord Jesus. He knew full well what Peter was going to do. And none of us are any different apart from God's grace. Therefore, let us realize tonight that the Lord is serving us to this great and wonderful end. That he wants to bring us into the joy. As it says here, and thou, once thou hast been restored, confirm thy brethren. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. You see, the Lord doesn't leave him in a vacuum. When once thou hast been restored, confirm thy brethren. Yeah, brethren, that's a word for us today too. If there's some coming back through divine grace, some who have been given to appreciate the Lord Jesus in his own wonderful way, it's in order that the saints may be confirmed and blessed. And there might be something by way of enrichment in the service of God. All because of Christ's wonderful intercessory service on behalf of his people, even at the present time. Oh, dear brethren, I felt that Peter, like my own heart, needed the word of encouragement tonight. But thy faith fail not. But your faith, don't let it fail. Just at the point when you might say the Lord needs you most, don't let the Lord down. I say that carefully, that let the import of the word of God come into our souls, perhaps as never before, and stir our hearts. I pass on to Genesis 18. This is a wonderful chapter, if I may say so, of the intercession of Abraham over Sodom. And I think that we can rightly put the saints into this chapter. Because Abraham is the father of all living, the heavenly race, typically. And I think it's a picture of perhaps the saints interceding God in regard of the world. I think that is needed too. I think the word to my heart, don't just sit back on your knees. Are we exercised by all that's going on around us? Are we concerned that we're interceding God on behalf of those in the world? This was Sodom. Spiritually, Sodom in Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. And here in the very scene of this poor world, there's Abraham interceding God. Wonderful to get hold of in our hearts, beloved. There is that in which God takes account of for his people. And it says, perhaps, or a little before, it says, behold, now I have ventured to speak with the Lord. Perhaps there may be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 20's sake. He said, oh, let not the Lord be angry that I speak yet but this time. Perhaps there may be 10. Very interesting. Abraham comes down to 10. Probably reminding us of responsibility. I think it was like the spiritual instinct in Abraham. He seemed to know when to leave off. Perhaps there may be 10. And I think, beloved brethren, as we know that tonight the world stands in reconciliation, we can go on praying that God may yet bring in true blessing, even amongst men, to be less. He doesn't come down to 5. We'd understand why. Only a little for God. Abraham knew when to stop. And I believe that the Spirit will give us instinct when the time comes. And things are growing darker and more difficult. Therefore, I think that the intercession of the saints is very important. It's particularly needed at the present juncture in the testimony. The appeal that goes out to the heart of God by his saints in view of blessing among the nations, that there may be yet others who will come into the joy and blessedness of knowing the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I might pause at this moment and ask you, beloved hearer, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you had to do with him? Because Abraham typically is appealing to God. The power of intercession, that God may come in and save. That's what he's doing tonight. Might be doing it in this company. He might want to save you completely. He might want you tonight to come to the knowledge the Lord Jesus is your Savior and have you confessed him as your Lord. All these things, I believe, are to stir our hearts a little more in relation to the glory of divine persons. This is a wonderful moment. These occasions will never be repeated because the Lord Jesus is soon coming. And therefore, the little time that's left, it behoves every one of us to take on these wonderful features of intercession. To be like the Lord in our measure. To know what it is to intercede. Intercede for one another, surely. I feel how necessary that is, to intercede on behalf of one another, and then to intercede on behalf of men. And then finally, dear brethren, in 1 Timothy, to intercede, as it says here, for all men, for kings, and for all that are in dignity. Do we do that? They're needing it. Leaders of nations are perplexed. They hardly know what to do. The rising power of evil in the world, the power of intercession is needed. It says, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings and all that are in dignity, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all piety and gravity. It's a word for us at the moment, I feel, in my own heart. We need to pray for those in authority, that wisdom may be given them in this hour of need. Not only in this country, but in other countries of the world. For this is good and acceptable before our Savior God, who desires that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what God has in mind, for every heart to come to the knowledge of the truth. And whilst I'm speaking, may I say a word to us all. Let us beware of what is proceeding in the world in a religious character too. You know, there is a lot of erroneous teaching in the world. Great excitement among people. Is it of God? Prove the scriptures, dear brethren. Test them according to scripture. It behoves us to lead a sober and tranquil life in all piety. I believe that we need to understand the spirit of the dispensation when the Lord is speaking himself in order to gain the ear of his people and be preserved from all that's proceeding at the present time, and to keep us in soberness of heart and mind near the person of Christ. I say that so that we may be preserved. You know, you find there's a tendency to go up this avenue and that avenue. Well, we'll see what it's like. I say don't touch it. Stick to the scriptures. Stick to what you know to be the truth as it is in the person of Jesus. Ask the Spirit to help you. Ask the Lord to guide you in these things. And I believe you'll understand something of his own priestly service at the present time. Well, dear brethren, that's all I have to say. I just trust that this word may be for our hearts, stimulate them, and to realize that the power of intercession is what is greatly needed at the present time. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.